This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of August of the year 2020, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from the book of James in the New Testament, chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. The title for this message is Racism from God's Perspective. Now, the message for this month has to do with a subject that has the entire nation focused on, and that is the idea that this nation is somehow infected with what has been described as systemic racism. For decades, one community, the black community, has been led to believe, erroneously I might add, that all of our problems stem from the fact that all whites, or at least the vast majority of them, are racist at their core and has set up laws and the courts to essentially punish blacks more harshly than whites for committing the same offenses simply because they are black. They also say that other systems like the educational, financial, and healthcare system also reflect this same principle in favoring whites over blacks. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that these things don't exist. However, to the extent that they are the foundation of this nation's existence, is patently false. What I have to say will shock most blacks because they don't realize to what extent they play a part in this perceived systemic racism. First, let me add the verses following the subject verse to present the entire picture, which is at the heart of this message. It says, "For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment," in verse number 3, "and you have respect for him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial or prejudiced in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" If you will notice the capitalized portions of verse number 2, you will see that they describe the types of clothing that the certain individual is wearing to a feast. One individual comes in dressed in fine clothing, while the second individual comes in dressed in rags. The host sees both of them, invites the one with the fine clothing to come sit next to him, while the other individual he tells to go sit in a corner, so to speak. Back in those days, and even today in some countries, when the person is invited to sit next to the host, that is a position of honor. While at the same time, if the host tells a person to sit in a corner, that is a sign of dishonor or no respect. For you to understand the significance of this scenario, you have to first understand the makeup of all mankind. The Bible tells us that man is a three-part being. Man is a spirit that possesses a soul that lives in a body. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23, and we find these words recorded. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What this means is, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you, being a spirit, will be looking at the house or the clothing that you are living in or wearing. What this then translates into is, when you are looking at other people and all their different skin colors, you are actually looking at the clothing or houses or the raiment that they are wearing. Now, if we apply this to our scriptures, then we can say that the host of the feast is favoring one skin color over another skin color, which in today's terms would make him a racist. The dictionary defines a racist as a noun, a person who shows or feels discrimination or prejudice against people of other races, or who believes that a particular race is superior to another. Quite simply put, any person who hates, despises, or feels that they are superior to someone based solely on the fact of the color of their skin is a racist. According to this definition, it doesn't matter what color the skin the person has that embraces these characteristics or this characteristic, they are a racist. And here is where I have a problem with the black community and how they feel about this situation. Blacks want to change the definition of racist to include the fact that the racist has to also have the ability or the wealth to influence society to adopt discriminatory laws and regulations or legislation to enforce their beliefs. This way, blacks, even though they may exhibit the very same characteristics as the dictionary definition of a racist, can't be accused of being one because they don't have the wealth or power to influence society's laws. However, if we look at the subject passages of Scripture, it makes no mention of whether or not the person has wealth or power. It just mentions how the person responds to the appearance of another person. Look at the capitalized part of verse number 4 in that same passage of Scripture. It says that the person actually is being partial, or you could say prejudiced, towards an individual. Let me show you just how ridiculous this way of thinking is. Imagine you go into any business that sells things like clothing, houses, cars, and such, and you pick an item that you like with the color that you like, and you purchase it. You then show your family and friends what you have purchased, and instead of them congratulating you, they turn away from you and refuse to associate with you because of the color of what you purchased. Or maybe it was you that turned away from someone because of the color of what they purchased. Now, I know what people will say. There is a big difference in the fact that I am talking about things that people chose to purchase versus the fact that except for special treatments, a person's skin color is what they were born with, and as such, they have no choice in the matter. Well, what if I tell you that God built this individual's clothing and house and put the human spirit in to live? That then means you have a problem with God's choice of the apparel or residence he chose to put chose for an individual. This then means you are choosing which clothing or housing made by God that you will accept and what you will reject. Do you really want to be in the position of judging God's work, especially when you will stand before him in judgment? I sure wouldn't. Prejudice and racism fall into this category in that you are not really judging man as much as you're judging God's creation. Now, as far as the black community goes, the idea that blacks can't be racist is a crock. the subject verse shows that. The idea that some preachers promote this idea when blacks do the same thing to whites as they claim whites are doing to them, yet they claim they are not guilty of racism because of additional criteria that they put in place are the reason we are in the condition that we are in today. They are trying to make it appear that God overlooks what we are doing, which then paints him in a bad light, and he isn't having it. God treats all of us exactly the same. He has no favorites when it comes to who we are as far as appearance. The only reason he does more for one of us than over another has nothing to do with appearance, but rather how we respond to his direction, which, by the way, we are sorely lacking. Another thing I have been saying is, in many instances, when it appears that whites seem to have animosity against us, it is not that they are racists, but rather they are sick and tired of having to deal with our stupidity and blaming them for what is wrong in our community, when it is clear that our problem is poor leadership. The leadership in our community leaves a lot to be desired. They want to blame everything that happens to us negatively on whites, yet they completely ignore the Holocaust of black-on-black killings. It is said that unless you are killed by a white person or a policeman, your life doesn't matter. When whites see that we don't respect ourselves, that is a clear sign to them that we certainly won't respect them. Yet that is what we demand of them. Their resistance to that is where we get the idea that they are racist. Look, a fool is a fool. And anyone who listens to or goes along with them is a fool as well. We have Black Lives Matter, BLM, leading the charge to tear down this so-called systemic racism, while at the same time they and their supporters are going around stopping white motorists, pulling them out of their cars and beating them, which is far worse than I have seen any white person or policeman, for that matter, do to blacks. They even had the police backing down from confronting them. In one city, they even took over several blocks of a city and held it for several weeks, and the police nor the city did a thing until crime in that area got out of control in that area. Then the police moved in. I thought blacks didn't have the money or the power to influence government. Here in Detroit, the week of June the 28th, protesters tried to hold a police unit hostage by surrounding it and not letting it move. However, the officers inside weren't having it and drove through them, nearly running some of them over to get away. Their response was to demand the officer driving the car be fired. The police chief, who is black, wasn't having it. This is what fools and those that support them do. During the race riots of 1967, blacks were reacting to racial oppression, but they burned down their own neighborhoods and looted their own black-owned businesses, putting many of their neighbors out of business. Then they complained that there are no viable black businesses in their neighborhoods. Fools. And all the time, black preachers backed them, talking about these fools up. And when whites see this going on, no wonder they are at the point where they will pull a gun, call the police, or otherwise want to have nothing to do with us. Racism is not systemic. It is a manifestation of our sin nature. Therefore, you can't get rid of it by making laws, electing politicians, rioting, or any other thing. Only Christ, the Holy Spirit, can do that by removing the sin nature of man. And that can only happen if the individual is willing to submit to God. Those black preachers evidently don't know this, or they are like Lazarus and are being paid to look the other way and lead us to destruction. Well, that's the end of our message for this month. And I hope you're beginning to see some of the problems. I mean, you know, we've got a myriad of problems going on in our community today. And it all stems from one group of people. And that is black leadership. Mainly black preachers. The reason why I say this is because these preachers are supposed to be spokespersons for God. So consequently, if a preacher says something or agrees with something or supports something or rejects something, depending on what it is, the people tend to believe that if the preacher takes that position, then that must be God's position as well, and they get in line with that position. But what they don't know is that that preacher don't know what the heck he's talking about or what he's doing, and he's headed for destruction, and he's leading all these people that are following him to destruction. And then when things are keep on going wrong, the first thing he does and turns around and says, we need more laws because of systemic racism. No, it's not systemic racism that's our problem. It's systemic stupidity on behalf of black leadership. Well, that's the end of our message. And this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out today, hoping that you got something from it. And until we get together next time for another message from the Word of God, good day.